Celeb Savant is a career retrospective type interview focusing on singers, actors, and industry experts. Join Barrett Edelstein now as he dives into the entertainment world.
Technotronic was a Belgian electronic music project formed in 1987. They're best known for their 1989 single Pump Up the Jam, which reached number 2 on the Billboard Hot 100 in the United States. Other singles include Get Up Before the Night Is Over and Move This, amongst many others. The 90s was a legendary era for electronic music, forever changing the sound of dance music. One of the most iconic dance groups of that time was Technotronic. Although the sound was born in Belgium, it had a distinctly American flavor that captured the world and sold over 43 million albums worldwide. Manuela Camazzi, also known as Yakit K, wrote the monster hit Pump Up the Jam, delivering the amazing vocals that defined the group. But the legacy did not stop there. After the second album, Daisy D officially joined the band, her iconic voice resonating alongside Yakit K as they traveled the world performing Technotronic's hits. Today, Daisy D still has that iconic voice and the energy of the 90s. Her powerhouse vocals continue to carry the Technotronic name, transporting listeners back in time. In 2024, Daisy D is the biggest influencer from the 90s Eurodance era, with over 170,000 followers on social media and over 2 million views on TikTok. Up next on the Celeb Savant, discussing her journey in the music world and her upcoming performance at the Turn Back the Time Music Festival in South Africa, is Daisy D from Technotronic. So where in the world are you and how are you doing?
I am doing fantastic. I'm at home in Belgium and I'm getting myself ready for a beautiful television meeting that I have in about 1.5 hours in Dusseldorf.
Yeah.
So I thought, let me just combine me getting ready with having a beautiful chat with you.
Lovely. I love that. Okay. So now let's rewind. At what age did you feel cool? You want to be in this beautiful world of creation, music industry world, where there was a child or teenager. And how did that journey progress? I know it's been a number of years. So what is your journey in the music world?
I remember being discovered actually by the producers of Technotronic when I was 17 years old. Mm-hmm. I was working in a club. I lied to them that I was 21 because I'm very tall. So yes. I lied. And I remember that you was making 100 Deutschmark, that's like 50 euros a night. So me being a kid that wants a lot of beautiful stuff, I was like, okay, I'll just go work there. And it worked out. And I think I was working there for 2 months. And then the guys came and they just picked me up in the club and said, hey, you want to do a test in the studio? And I did it. And here we are, 30-something years later.
Do you know why they chose the name Technotronic? Where it comes from?
You know, in that period of time, Yakit K, you know, she just started Technotronic. That's, you know, she's like the founder with Joe Bogert. And Yakit and Joe didn't really get along. That's the truth of the matter of that time. And it was a difficult situation for the record company. And the record, Pump Up the Jam, was growing immensely. Mm. So they were testing a few girls to sing live because, you know, as we all know in the video, there is a girl, Feli, she's miming, you know?
Yes.
So they wanted to have the voice of Yakit, you know, repeated. They wanted to have that voice and they were looking for it all over the world, actually. And then they met me.
Okay.
They met me and they were like blown away in the studio. They were like, what the hell? This girl, you know. So then we had to re-record the song. So I don't even know which version is on the market right now. We had to re-record it. It all sounds the same. And I met Yakit. We became really besties. And we traveled around the world for a long time. And we were Technotronic together with different type of guys.
Yeah.
But we became the band Technotronic at the end of the day. That's the real story about, you know, behind the Technotronic movement. So
oh,
it's like, yeah. You know, these days you have so much more control over your career because you have, you know, your own Instagram. You can tell people the truth by speaking up yourself. back then, you had no chance. There was a record company, radio station, MTV. They told the truth. That's it. You know, you couldn't speak up. You couldn't tell them, this is what's going on with me, you know. And now today, I love the day of today that you can really say who you are and what you want and what you mean. I love it. I love it.
Okay, so you're referencing times and changes of time. So I love me a CD. I love the journey of the choice, the experience of unpacking, the journey of listening to song one to whatever number. I'm not sure if you're aware that CDs, vinyls, cassettes, massive comebacks. Vinyls alone last year, 5.9 million, the biggest in the UK since 1990.
Oh, wow.
CDs in the UK now, they've got a basket of products in the UK where they gauge prices for tax purposes. And vinyls have been in that box for the longest time. And now since CDs are in such a massive upsurge, they are back in that basket. And it's the younger generations that are buying them, the teenagers. And we also have these streaming platforms that people listen to music on. So what are your observations of what's happening at the moment?
Well, because I've been through the musical journey for so many years, I actually enjoy all of it, honestly. Okay. The reason that I do is, I mean, of course, we made more money back then because it was physical. There were physical, you know, if you sell a record, you really sell a record.
Exactly.
So there was ways to count, because record companies are crazy, kind of count the amount of records that you sold. Like Technotronic sold 24 million copies albums worldwide. That's a crazy number.
Yeah.
You know?
Fantastic.
What I do love, again, about this time is that you could see like how many people in which country has streamed my songs. You know, you don't have to call the record company and say, hey, can you please check this for me? And they'll tell you any number and you got to believe it. So we sold 24 million, but we don't have $24 million on our bank account.
Yeah.
How does that work? Because a record doesn't cost a dollar. Back then it was like an album was $10 or $14. So they made so much money, and then we were like, and where is our share, you know?
Yeah.
And these days, even though the streaming platforms are crazy, and it's like, what, you made 0.0001 cent on a stream?
Yeah.
But you still kind of know, like, how many people are listening to my records, and you can play up on that, you know? So that means if in South Africa, you can see, like, hey, there's 100,000 people listening to my songs, you can play up on that. You can call agencies and say, look, I am Daisy D. 100,000 people are listening to my record in your country. I would love to visit. I would love to come for concerts. Can we make a deal? There's like different ways to make deals to be able to grow as an artist.
Okay.
But if you sit there and wait and see, oh, what's going to happen today, then nothing's going to happen. But if you put yourself into it and these days help you to become more business orientated, it's music. Business.
Exactly.
It's not just music.
Exactly. It's I love that. Business. I love that. Yes, I love that.
Yeah.
Brilliant. So what do you enjoy about performing live?
Oh, I love singing live. I love it. I love the shock in people's face when I open my mouth. I love it.
Why do you say shock, though? Why do you say shock?
Well, the thing is that people don't expect that when you sing live that it sounds like the record.
Okay,
you know?
Yes.
Like, usually when you sing live, it sounds kind of like the record, so it's okay.
Yeah.
But when you open your mouth and you sing and you sound like the record, people just go back. Their brains just go back in time. And that is such a blessing to see the eyes of thousands of people just go like, whoo, remember.
So I've got another point of discussion around this. I'm normally the dude right up in front, dancing, jamming, doing my thing. And I notice, well, I'll take my cell phone out for one or two pics, one or two clips, and I put it away. But a lot of the people are videoing, posting, tweeting for a lot of the time while you guys are on stage. Do you find that distracting, or it's just, again, where society is at the moment?
You know, I like I said before, I really accept the way the society is flowing today.
Okay.
I'm in the beginning, I had to force myself not to be stuck in time, because time flows and time goes, you know? But also, if you make the best of your time, you have the best time. That's the way it is. I have a 21-year-old son, and he's in the world of today. He's like, if I tell him something like, hey, you know, mom did this and that, or I styled Beyonce, or I went, you know, whatever. If I say something, he's immediately going to the internet to check if it's true instead of just believing me. And I just believed my parents when they said anything. They could have said anything to me. I was like, okay, my parents said this and that. And these days, you know, so I kind of like accept it the way it is. And I actually love it when I'm performing. And then after performance, I go back to my hotel and I see them, you know, all the comments. I see them, the videos, people joining it, because I don't see them, right? I'm on stage.
And the lights on your eyes,
The lights on my eye. I do see the little screens because most of them are filming us while we are on stage. I mean, they still scream and shout because they love it. The applause is less, but it's more like, woo, because they can't clap.
Yes.
So I'm really enjoying it. When I go back to my hotel, I retweet a lot of stuff or I repost a lot of things that the people are saying. Sometimes I use them for my own Instagram and I leave the names of the comments inside. I kind of enjoy every era of
Lovely. What do you enjoy about being on a festival sort of lineup like the one that's coming up on the 27th of September? You know, these Rewind festivals, 100% retro, these throwback 90s. What is the enjoyment of being on shows like that or in this repertoire like that?
First of all, we all know each other for a lot of years.
Yeah.
You know, Ray and I have been friends for over 20 years, like real friends. And you go through ups and downs, so you can share a lot of your journey with each other. Because you're from the, kind of like the same generation. So when we are together backstage, which a lot of people don't know, we hang out, you know, we talk, we laugh, we go through life. That's the first moment, that's the first point of enjoyment for us, being together, you know. The second point is, of course, being on stage and going through the same feeling, whether it's Rosella, whether it's Too Unlimited. We all go through that same hype, you know.
Yeah.
So we are together in that hype, you know. It's like when you're like completely like going nuts, we're high like together, but just from the audience, the people, the atmosphere, the days that you're spending together, that's it's great. And of course the lineup, it's amazing because we all enjoy each other's music. Like when Rosella's on and she's go, everybody's free, I'm like, you know, because I also bought that record when I was younger, you know.
Yes.
You know, or when Too Unlimited is on stage, I'm like a super groupie of all my friends. I'm in front of the stage going, no. Every time again, we have gigs monthly together, but still I'm always
Yes. Well, I mean, I actually saw it. So for the listeners, there was 100% retro that happened in South Africa in January. And Daisy D was performing, and I saw him in front of the stage going mad. The discussion we're having around now is coming up on the 27th of September in South Africa. That's going to be Rosella, Daisy D, Marty from No Mercy, Rednecks, Reel to Reel, and a bunch of others. So it's going to be a fantastic show. Is Technotronic or yourself going to be releasing any new music? Because I saw you did single releases or solo work and stuff with Technotronic. So is anything new coming up on the pipeline?
Yeah, I mean, not that that's something like prioritized on my list, but yeah, a lot of people is asking that same question. Even though I love doing featurings with different bands, there is a band in Germany called U96, U96, you know? I did a song with them in the 90s called Love Religion. So we just re-recorded that, and there are some very new hot DJs making remixes of it. So I am doing that. Fab from Milli Vanilli.
Yes.
Also one of our dearest friends. He's going to be there.
Yes, absolutely.
And he's writing a couple of really amazing songs, and I'm going to join them for one or two songs. So we are going to definitely do some new things. But it's not like we are going to do only new things right now, because everybody that is onto the 90s loves the old stuff.
Yes.
But it's fun to make some newer remixes or newer songs in between. So definitely newer things are definitely going to come.
What do you think is the draw to the nostalgia? Because, you know, you have these 80s shows, these 90s shows, They packed with thousands of people, all ages, loving it. What do you think is the appeal that people are going back to that music, those times, and this nostalgia behind it?
I tell you the truth, what I feel. Not only, I think I'm one of the people. And this era of time, 2024 or, you know, the 2000s, whatever, that's a very plastic type of time, you know? Things are, you know, everything goes by so quick. You know, we had a crazy time of the corona. People kind of don't talk about it anymore, like it didn't exist. And it was one of the worst time of most of us, artists and musicians or whatever. Time is so, time consumes so fast in this time. Yes. Back then, you had time to sit and think, you know?
Exactly, yeah.
And the younger generation feels that. They feel that that time was a whole different era of music. When you speak about love, you really talk about what you really, really feel. Nowadays, I don't even know a love song just by that. Like, you know, the only nostalgic song that we know, but that's also from the 90s, is Mariah Carey, Do You Know It's Christmas. That's one of those songs that will never go away, you know? But other than that, on this time, there is nothing really to hold on to. But then, back then, you hold on to, excuse me to say, but it's a very simple song that's a pump up the jam. But at that moment that you hear it, you just know it's party time, you know?
Yes.
Or, you know, when you hear Ray's voice saying, are you ready for this? You're like, yeah, I'm ready for this.
Yes.
You know, it just gives you that kind of feeling of, I need to party. I need to have a good time. I want to forget everything.
Yeah.
And here I go. And, you know, it's like magnets. The kids see their parents really enjoying something. Normally, it's like, clean up your room. Do this, do that.
Yeah.
And then you hear in the big round, everybody's. And they're like, whoa. The parents are just like, it's like, okay, mom, there must be some magic in that song. Yeah. Let me go enjoy. And it happens worldwide because we travel everywhere in the world. And the reaction is everywhere the same. It don't matter where we are. We're happy to come to South Africa. Don't get me wrong. The reaction of the music is...
Well, I mean, the first 8 counts of Pump Up the Jam, you know it. Everyone knows it. And everyone's like, yeah. Like, I teach spinning classes. And I often put Pump Up the Jam into my playlist for the spin class. And the first 8 counts is like, everyone's like, yeah. They all know.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah.
You know, and that song, you know, I was 17. I'm 54 very soon.
Yes.
It's crazy. I was 17 when I, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
I was, you know, like, so 18, I'm sorry. I was so young. And then all these years later, I have a 21-year-old son that is like, pump up the jam.
But also, you know, that time feels like, it feels like yesterday, but at the same time, it feels like 100 years in, you know, in a weird kind of way. But so much and so little has happened. Well,
yeah.
So Daisy, I love this game. I know if I had to ask you this question in 2 minutes, 2 years, 50 minutes, I know your answer will be different every time. And I recognize that and I understand that. I'm not saying favorite. I'm saying a quick top of mind that come through. If you had to push play to 5 songs by other artists, what would those 5 songs be and by whom?
Oh, my God. It would be Snoop Dogg, I guess. It would be Aha, Take On Me. I mean, I'm all over the place, you know.
Yes.
It would be, of course, Pump Up the Jam. I'm so sorry. I love that song.
No, absolutely.
It would be Guns N' Roses. I love Guns N' Roses.
Nice trajectory there, yeah.
And I think one more, right?
Yeah.
I think Rosala, everybody's, everybody's,
That's very pertinent to today's times, that song as well.
Yeah, yeah.
So Daisy, the podcast is listened to throughout the world. As a final message, what would you like to say?
I would like to say to everyone to really enjoy every moment of their lives. Life is a very beautiful gift that we have. Time is something that is, you know, you can't buy it. It's something that you get it as a present and you got to take every second of it and make really the best of it for yourself. Because like they say in the plane, you know, always take care of your own mask and then you can help others. So always take care, very good care of yourself so you feel amazing. And like that, you're much, much more grateful and happy to share everything else with others. That's the way I live my life, and that's what I would like to give away to everyone.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Celeb Savant. Please follow Barrett on TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, and Facebook @CelebSavant. That's CelebSavant.